Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here to talk with you on the Amazing Race 36 premiere recap. Very excited to talk about a 90-minute premiere for another season of the Amazing Race. Back here with our chief Amazing Race correspondent, the great Jessica Lise. Jess, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. As you can see, I'm here in sunny Puerto Vallarta.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It was a beautiful first leg of the Amazing Race.
Yes. Okay. And then also here with us, and still, we do not know how he is prepared.
I'm afraid, Rob.
That it could go any number of ways. Let's welcome in the great Mike Bloom.
I think it's more appropriate, Rob, if you say next up in the ring.
Oh, my God. Luchador Bloom. And Mike, Mike is wearing, let me paint the picture.
Please, it's a beautiful picture.
Let me paint the picture, and maybe we should go full all in here on Mike.
Full Bloom here.
Yes, we're live, right? This is live, okay?
Yep,
okay.
This is still live.
Yeah, so Mike Bloom is wearing a luchador mask, is that correct, Jess? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, luchador mask, which I'm not sure if he had that already or has fashioned himself.
You don't know what I do on the weekends.
But he's also topless, and the part that I'm trying to understand that he also seems to have electrical tape pasties.
It's a family show, Rob. You know, they tout the Amazing Race. So I just want to make things appropriate. We're going to talk about how, you know, while the cat's away, the mice will play. This mouse wanted to cover up his nipples for the first podcast of the season.
Maybe I'm glad you draw the line somewhere,
yes,
Mike.
Yes. Okay. And for a variety of reasons, make sure Angela Bloom never sees this podcast.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to wear this when I go to pick up Asher in a few minutes.
Wait, hold on. Rob, are you suggesting that Mike may have a vested interest in us not telling Angela about this podcast?
And now he's flexing. If you're listening
to
the podcast,
are you not entertained? You can call me the rocking horse.
Yes,
because people can ride me all day, and I'm not good on cobblestone.
I'm gonna have to hide this monitor. I don't think I can look at this the whole time.
Yeah, I think by the end of this experience, you'll be the ones wearing masks. You don't want to associate it with me.
Yeah. Do you got any more of that electrical tape so I can put it on my eye?
Yeah, several folks are ready to pick him up and pin him down.
You know what? The commitment to the electrical tape, we'll see how good of a choice that was when the removal process ends up happening. I might have a Maya and Rohan myself wound up at a dead end sooner rather than later.
Okay. And much like the rocking horse, the wheels have come off very early here on this podcast. And so if you're listening to the podcast version and you want to see all this tomfoolery or Mike foolery, you can go ahead. Robiswebsite.com/YouTube for the video version. Okay. Try to proceed it. As normal. All right. So we're here. We're streaming live. Hello to our live audience. I think that maybe there might be an influx of new people coming to.
Goodbye, everybody.
Some rubberneckers showing up to see what's happening.
Yeah, and people that are usually into rubber wear these types of masks.
Okay. All right. No great way to pivot to. This is our premiere coverage of the Amazing Race 36. And so we have a lot of big things planned for this season. But I want to say up front that, you know, I have had the great pleasure of getting to podcast about the Amazing Race since, when was it? Amazing Race 21, Jess?
Mm-hmm. It's 21.
And so here we are, Amazing Race 36, some 15 seasons later. And I think that I am at a point in my own personal journey with the Amazing Race that I'm ready to hand over the baton to the capable hands of Jessica Lise and Mike Bloom. Although I have some questions about the Mike decision after this. But in all
Rob,
seriousness,
don't lie. You are quitting the podcast because of what Mike is wearing right now.
Well, I had second thoughts prior to coming on.
I just pile-drived Rob out of the podcast with my taped-up nipples.
In all seriousness, if you're a long-time listener to Rob as a podcast, you know that I'm always trying to take on more things. I never give up anything lightly, but it was after a lot of careful consideration coming into this year. I did want to scale back my personal podcast workload. I think that I can be better serving all of RHAP as a network by being in more behind the scenes conversations and meetings. And so I am not going to be out on the golf course. I am working just as hard as ever on RHAP, but I am going to, after tonight, leave the Amazing Race podcasting in the very capable hands of Jess and Mike. But I think that there is some exciting news that comes out of this as well. Jess, what's the transition plan?
Well, Rob, the transition plan is it's not just going to be me and Mike because, you know, who wants that? I don't know.
I can think of worse things. Yeah.
There are worse things, but we're going to be bringing in some extra people that are, you know, not extra in the way that Mike is extra.
I was going to say,
Mike is pretty extra.
We're going to have some special guests. We are talking to some former racers. So that third chair there, and probably occasionally the third and fourth chair, will be taken up by people that know stuff about this show that we will never know because they have been there themselves. And we may have some other special guests as well. But it'll be me, Mike, and other for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So I'll be stepping aside. Mike and Jess will be with you every week, and then Amazing Race guests will be joining us throughout the season, much like what we do with Survivor, when we have Survivors come on every single week. So I'm very excited about the new direction for the Amazing Race recap, and I plan to be watching along all season, and so if I'm ever needed, I am happy to jump back into the fray, but very excited to be getting some great, amazing race guests with us for the season. And Jess, that's not all. For our longtime RHAP Amazing Race fans, we have something else new.
Oh, we have a lot of things that are new, Rob. I don't know which new thing we're
okay.
going to first.
Well, we just started a brand new Amazing Race RHAP Facebook group.
Woo!
Yay! And we've got over 100 members already, and the discussion is robust. So if you are on Facebook and that is a thing you enjoy, please come join us on the Facebook.
And just think how much conversation there will be after today's podcast and once we get some Mike Bloom pictures going.
I'm going to make that point to moderators.
Yeah, either that or we're going to get some sort of Blexit where everyone's like, nope, too far. I'm out of here.
Yeah. All right. So be sure to join us there in the brand new Facebook group. So this is, I think, a new era for the podcast. Should be very fun to be able to take questions there and hear what you are all thinking about each episode of The Amazing Race and the podcast. And then Jess just got done with an exit interview earlier today with the first team eliminated from The Amazing Race.
Yep, that should be in your feeds already at the time you're listening to this if you are not live. So that is a thing that happened, and I'll be taking over the exit interviews every week for the rest of the season.
Yes, and I think that Jess does an incredible job on the exit interviews. So excited to listen to that one. Of course, you can check out Mike's exit press as well at parade.com.
I did not wear this outfit. I tried. I was semi-professional with Maya and Rohan. I didn't want to bring up any sort of bad memories by dressing up on one of the tasks that eliminated them in the one and only leg they ran on The Amazing Race.
Okay. Yeah, your audio's still pretty good with the luchador mask.
Well, listen, they're good communicators, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because they need to spread their messages to all the people they're facing off against during a fracas of a Royal Rumble that were just 30 men kind of shoving each other around in a ring.
Yeah, this was pretty wild. All right, let's talk about this premiere episode. I have to say, I was a little confused. I know you two are way more tapped in on The Amazing Race than I am, but I was actually very confused with, okay, 13 teams, no non-elimination legs. Phil tells us up front. Okay, great. Bet. We then get Phil telling us, and we get to the finish line. And all right, here you go. Rod and Leticia, you're team number one. Keep racing. Like, okay. All right, well, non-elimination leg to start, but okay. And then I felt like they were setting up a cliffhanger with these last three teams. I'm like, what are they going to, are they going to end the episode right now? Are we going to get a cliffhanger on who's going to be the last team to arrive to get faked out? And then I was totally gobsmacked when Phil eliminated the 13th place team. Because have we ever done this before? Keep racing and eliminate a team?
Yeah, you don't have to look very far, Rob. Try four seasons ago. I know the fandom at large maybe tries to forget the Amazing Race 32 for certain reasons, but if you remember, Amazing Race 32 started with a bunch of these. They call them sort of zero-hour pit stop, I think is kind of the way that the fandom has referred to them, where it's not a keep-on-racing slash mega-leg, where, okay, you're essentially just going to keep going and it's two legs in one. This is more so like, okay, this technically is a leg. You're going to check in. You're going to get a placement, but then we're just going to keep on moving. I think part of this is because we are going to spend another leg in Mexico. They might want to go for like a daytime, nighttime, city, country type of thing. And so they're like, yeah, let's just keep going here. Might also be sort of like, you know, Jeff Probst's new era style, a way to kind of like shock the newbies, right? To be like, aha, you thought this was going to be easy. Now you have to basically race for 12 hours straight.
Yeah. Or Jess, are they just trying to get out of giving prizes to the team that comes in first?
I mean, that's, I think, how we posited it in 32. We said, we think they're trying to save money. Like, they don't have to book a hotel. They don't have to give away a prize. They can get done quicker, so they don't have to pay people as much. I it just feels like, you know, the cheapest of the cheap. It's cost cutting. Like, the next thing they're going to do, they're going to take a cue from Canada, and then all the tasks are going to be sponsored by some company.
To be fair, if they had booked a hotel, I do think there's a chance that like a third of these teams would get lost going to the hotel.
Yeah, the team struggled. I would love to hear from you both. What was your overall thoughts on this premiere, Jess?
I think I was worried about it being 90 minutes because we know they didn't really plan for 90 minutes. But I think 13 teams in 90 minutes is all right. There's a couple of teams in there. Like, if you ask me to name all 13, there's probably a couple I'm going to struggle with. Mm-hmm. But there was enough going on and enough action and enough character moments that I felt like this was a pretty solid first leg.
Yeah. How about for you, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't worried about this initial stage because, yeah, the big news is, of course, the whole filming schedule was that this was filmed back in the fall of 2022. Then CBS notified Amazing Race production, hey, we're going to do 90 minutes in the fall. And so Amazing Race said, great, now we'll plan a season with 90 minutes in the fall. They swapped the airing order. So now what was the 36th season filmed was season 35 last fall. This was technically the one filmed before it. Hence why we're going back to sort of like those COVID era restrictions. The route is going to be much more truncated. We're going to be using the Amazing plane again once we leave Mexico. And so, much like with Survivor, we wondered, okay, 60 minutes of planning, how will that be stretched out into 90 minutes? I ended up talking with our great friend Phil Kogan this past week about the season, and he sort of clarified in kind of the way that Jeff Probst did with season 46 of, you know, we, even with the season that came before this, we don't structure for 90 minutes. You know, we structure for 60 minutes, we edit for 90 minutes. And I feel like if there's a way that this extended runtime is going to work, it's going to be in this first stage where there's so many teams, we're not going to find ourselves really dragging because there's just so many people to check in on. We'll check back maybe closer to like the final six, final five, final four, where it's like, okay, we're still doing two tasks an episode and there's not a lot of airtime to go around. It might be a bit different, but I really enjoyed this. I think there's a lot of great personalities. There's a lot of delightful hot messes as well. And so I think it was a really solid start. I do feel bad for the teams because as much as we're kind of lampooning, I think, a lot of the mistakes that teams were making, they were not given a map. And so I do feel that was kind of tough. They could obviously go and get a map of their own volition, but I do feel kind of bad for those that were trying to navigate without having something that they would assume would be in the car when they started.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that the premiere dragged. If anything, I felt like that they were really like yada yadaing by the last task that we ended up doing. I mean, we even get like at the mat, it's like, okay, team 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It was like a quick, like 2 second montage of teams arriving at the mat. So I feel like that, especially like towards like the back end of the rodeo task, like I felt like we're really just like fast forwarding through it.
Yeah. And I think it also helped that, you know, we got a lot of file photos, personal backstory bumps. I feel like it was just like we were on those cobblestones where it feels like we got to know a little bit of every team, either on the race or like who they are going into the race. And that's what you ideally want out of a premiere, right? Because ideally some of these teams are going to rise to the top and some will fall to the bottom and get airtime that way. At least that's sort of like slew of teams that checked in the middle. We found out a little bit about each of them.
Okay. I felt like then also not a ton of drama about which team was going to be going home for the second season in a row for us that we get the sibling super fans. Jess, seems like it's a little bit of a cursed archetype.
Well, we always said that super fans were a cursed archetype. And part of that, that's kind of putting the cart before the horse, because I think a lot of times if you go into the race and they don't have a better story for you, they just give you a super fan, because there are plenty of super fans in this cast. And it's not going to be, it's less that if you are a super fan, you're going to go out early, and more that odds are the first team that goes out is going to be a self-described super fan, because that describes so many people on the race and we don't really have time to know anything else about how they race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Rob, from the way it was edited. I mean, Maya and Rohan got to the first clue, the first destination they were supposed to go to, without commercials, 40 minutes into an hour and 8 minute episode. You'd be led to believe, like, good God.
But they really aced the tasks, Mike.
Well, that's the thing, though. And what's interesting is, Jess, I don't know if they revealed this to you, but in my interview with Maya and Rohan, they actually said they got pretty remarkably close to surviving the leg. They said that by the time they ran into the pit stop, Mary and Chris and Vinny and Amber were just walking off the mat. And sometimes they keep them around to do, like, a little bit of post-mat chat, but that's a pretty noticeable window they were able to close.
Okay. Well, Wando in the chat is correcting me. Didn't sibling superfans win last season? Okay, I guess so. I guess the brother-sister superfans seem like they're the cursed archetype.
I don't know. I don't even think it's like a brother-sister thing, because I feel like there are plenty of teams of like dating couples or best friends who are super duper into the race.
Yeah, but there's just a super fan. If you were like, if you had enough other stuff going on, you wouldn't be super fans.
Right.
Yeah. So
Rob, you could say that now because you do have a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Hence why you're leaving the podcast.
So, all right, answer this question for me. All right. So, that we know that this was filmed out of order. We had this whole courtroom's out of order. We went to Phil on the mat, talked about last season. We went to a country we've never been to before this season. So how's Phil talking about what happened last season?
Well, technically, it also applies to season 34. No, they went to a new country. They went to Jordan. No non-elimination legs, got introduced in season 34. So they got very lucky that either in the moment or through ADR, Phil was able to loosely refer to a season that could either be 34 or 35.
Yeah. Just, I thought that they did like pickups.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were doing.
No.
But it does technically, he wasn't lying.
Works both ways. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So we'll go through the entire cast and we'll talk about the teams individually in order that they finish. But let's just talk about the tasks here in this episode. We opened it up with this detour of pick them up or pin them down. Many of the teams opted for pick them up, which, Mike, I thought this ended up being the much harder detour.
Well, I think, yeah, it's like you're commensurate physical versus mental, right? Of like, lug this thing that was probably heavier than you imagined, but, you know, get a relatively straight path versus, hey, you only get to go to one spot, but it's very determined by, you know, your memory and your ability to pay attention to detail. So it's like a nice, simple way to show the racer's decision-making skills, partially because right from the beginning, we are getting a limited stations detour, that there were only 7 stations, and that led to some interesting drama as well, especially for like Mary and Chris, who could not get there in time and as a result had to switch. So I thought it was just like a perfect example of a nice Amazing Race detour, a nice way to get their feet wet. Do we like the name? I know we always like to do this every week.
Pick them up or pin them down. I didn't mind it. Did you have something better for
I mean, I had like screwdriver versus pile driver, equine versus supine.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rocking horse versus the four horsemen.
Rocky horse versus Charlie horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought these were fine because I was not expecting, and I had not seen any sort of like the promotional materials when they, Phil explained, pick them up. But when we got to pin them down, Jess, they went to the wrestling ring and they started to bring in the luchadors. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to have to wrestle the luchadors?
See, we've done a task like that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great fun. I feel like you could go to that well again. This was a little bit like, you know, you don't even need to have real people in there. You could just show them a movie. At that point, we start to veer into Amazing Chamber of Commerce race territory.
I don't know. I like the live element. Personally.
I loved it so much.
Because I love the pure chaos of like, so Rod says there were about 30 men there. I don't know if that was an exaggeration because they only had to get 10. So I imagine somewhere between those limits, but apparently it was distracting enough. And it's always the fun thing with the Amazing Race where they're like, oh yeah, we can ace this. And then they are completely over their heads at the beginning where they're like, oh, okay, wait, what's that guy doing? Who's Lightning Bolt? Who's Gray Mask? Et cetera, et cetera. And so it's one of those things that nobody's going to get on the first try. And you might as well pretty much just like watch it, go back to the placards, figure out who's on the placards, and then just go back a second time and pay attention to those people.
Yeah, because you only need to know the ones that you have. You don't need to know all of them.
I thought it was shot so fun. They did so many different shots of like the luchadors, like getting up in the camera, like being crazy. I loved the judge for this was the referee, where he was like very like expressive and over the top in terms of like when they were wrong. He was like, no.
Well, my favorite part of that is that, you know, he's not doing it to them in the moment. All of those are pickup shots. Yeah. So they just had this guy like screaming into the camera for like 30 minutes before anybody even got there.
Yeah, that was so great. I love that.
I was obsessed with that. I mean, it does mirror the reaction to, if I had shown this to you prior to us coming onto the podcast, Rob, you would respond the exact same way.
The Lucia, your costume?
No.
And then I thought it was so fun having the contestants like outside of the ring, because Rod, like when he was standing outside the ring, like he looked like that he was like somebody who should have been in there, like grab a steel chair and go in there and just clean house.
He was about to.
That's Rod Garner's music.
Did you see him flexing and taunting the luchadors as they were about to go in? Like, that dude could have gotten dragged into the fray.
Yeah, it would have been great.
They showed them his abs.
Bring him into the Rumble. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was like the perfect amount of chaos that really represented this opening episode as well. And really any opening of the Amazing Race, especially when the scramble comes into the picture, which is just like, you're loosed upon the world. Good luck. And just trying to figure out like, okay, how do I grab someone? How do I take hold of somebody and just try to eke by with a win here?
Yeah. So I thought that was just a really fun task to open things up. And then most of the teams who ended up picking this, I feel like that they got through it much quicker than doing like a, nobody really aced the rocking horse challenge.
Well, interestingly enough, this is kind of one of those situations where it's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've always said that if you have this like brute force physical strength task, you know that it's going to take a certain amount of time to do it. And as long as it's like you're physically capable of doing it, you should do that over the solving the puzzle, memorizing the thing kind of task. But in this case, they've really started to even those out a lot.
Yeah.
But there were other advantages that I think people could kind of deploy there. Like you had Cesar and Ricky doing the luchador task because they had been to Puerto Vallarta and they knew what the rocking horses looked like.
Right.
Like, I think if you just see rocking horse down cobblestones, you're like, I could do that. But if you know what they look like and how much they weigh, you might be able to do a little bit better calculus.
So mm-hmm. Is that something that people should take moving forward, that like, there's no such thing as a simple object you have to transport on the Amazing Race? Like, oh, great, you have to roll this ball down a hill, but the ball is actually covered in spikes. That there's always some sort of twist. It's not your normal object.
I would love to say that is what they're going to do, but I know that is not what they're going to do, because I don't think they care that much. I think it's going to be, I would say there's a percentage, and I don't know what the over under is on the percentage here. There is going to be a percentage of tasks this season that are just like, go to the place and get the thing and take it to the other place. And we always have a bunch of those in any given season. That's not going to be different. But I think you always have to allow for the possibility that go to the place and get the thing may be a little bit more complicated sometimes.
Okay. Then after the teams ended up going through the detour, they got to the roadblock of feeling loopy. I'm feeling a little loopy after this, Mike.
Yeah, listen, I thought this was another fun one of roadblocks always putting the pressure on one person. And in something that was like fairly athletic, but not in a brute strength way. I mean, I do think that the athletic men did have a bit of an advantage in it, like a Rod, like a Shane as an example. But there was a time, Rob, and I'm like, are we going to get a five hole in the premiere episode here with Mr. Double Dutch?
Yes, I had my notes too. Double Dutch five hole.
I was excited. I was here for it. And I think it is one of those cases where if you know a little bit about something similar that is not the thing, that might trip you up. So it's not literally exactly a five hole. Yeah, literally trip you up. Mm-hmm. I think and he articulates it pretty well. He says, you know, when you do double dutch, you have to be like right up on it. But with this, you need a little more distance. And he had to figure that out. But then, of course, and Mike and I were riffing on this all night last night.
Oh, yeah. We should mention, let's not bury the lead here. Jess and I had the opportunity to go to a premiere party last night for The Amazing Race.
Yes. How was that?
It was great.
It was great. There was cake. There was a step and repeat. There were props. So props to the teams that organized the event. It was a really lovely time.
Just Mike didn't wear the luchador outfit, did he?
No, Mike wore clothes.
Yes.
And I was proud of him.
Yes.
Thank you.
He conducted himself like an adult.
That's a lot.
Steven would say, were you rubbing elbows with the Amazing Race glitterati?
Well, the Amazing Race 36 glitterati, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We got to meet several of the teams, and they're lovely people. Seven.
Less than several, yeah.
Less than several. Okay. All right. Well, that's very exciting. Hope that do you guys post any pictures?
Yeah, I posted some to my Insta.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll hear more about that in the Facebook group. Of course, I think I forgot to give out the link to the Facebook group. What did we say? robinsonwebsite.com/TAR group if you want to be a part of our Amazing Race Facebook group. Okay.
Anyway, Jess, you and I were, you were riffing. You said we were riffing before about something.
We were riffing before about how all of the confessional interviews on The Amazing Race start with, as a person in your profession, how is The Amazing Race like your profession? And so it's a lot of like, as an anesthesiologist, you know, Amazing Race is like knocking people out with anesthetics, and Amazing Race is like teaching double dutch. Amazing Race is like playing in the NFL. And there's an element of this where I think you hear him pivot really interestingly. You hear Sean say that as a teacher in a fitness studio, he was able to see what needed to be done and think about how he would teach it to himself. And then he's able to learn it that way. And I thought that was really interesting. And like the one time that somebody comparing the Amazing Race to their own job is interesting.
I really hope I learn something about double dutch every episode. Like, with no offense to the double dutch acrobatics aerobics, like, I would love some free lessons in double dutch personally. I feel like that's a skill you could take with you in life. And so we've got one down. I really hope that Sean's able to teach us a lot more as the season goes along.
What will you do with the double dutch technique that you pick up, Mike? You see like some girls with a jump rope on the street and you'll like jump in there like a romantic comedy.
And he'll be dressed like that and he'll get put on a list.
Why do you think I wear the mask? I mean, the answer is simply, Rob, I take on the world. When you can double dutch, the world's your oyster.
I'm just taking it slow. I'm working on single dutch.
No, you got to go double dutch.
Yeah.
You might even up to triple dutch by the end.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's talk about the actual teams. We can get into a little bit more detail on how everybody did. And let's talk about our very fun first place team. It ends up being Rod and Letitia. And Rod was a big personality. I meant to text Rick Devins earlier that Rod's first place finish here was his first ever time finishing first place after his time with the Washington football team.
Well, when did he retire? Because didn't they have like one season in 2020 where they were first in the NFC East? But that was basically it.
And like 6-10.
Yeah, but Rod is our NFL alumni. And I feel like, again, with the Amazing Race in particular, with NFL alumni, I think you look at them on paper and there's like, okay, stunt casting. But we look at D'Angelo Williams and Gary as an example. Like, they bring the personality, and Rod and Letitia absolutely do. I love them. And I feel like they surprise me in very different ways. You know, I think from an athletic perspective, we did expect them to do really well. But they immediately zig when we thought they would zag and say, no, we're going to do the mental part of the detour and crush it. And that says something to me.
Yeah. Rod, I cannot stay on the podcast this season because at some point I will call him Rod Tidwell. And that is not his name.
No. No, it's
not. Yeah. That's cool, Rod Gardner. Okay. Mike, what position did he play? He was a receiver?
He was a wide receiver, I believe. Listen, he is used to running quick routes. And Letitia, listen, she admits that she is not fully the athlete that Rod is, but she's able to keep up. And she has, I think, even a bigger personality than him. I really like Letitia as well. And she also, honestly, might be like one of the most beautiful people to ever Whoa. Run the Amazing Race. Like, she is absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of my favorite surprise Amazing Race team dynamics, is when you have a guy who comes on the Amazing Race and is cast clearly because he has a following and he's famous, and then the person he brings with him is actually the secret, more dynamic person on the team.
Wow.
I love when that happens. It makes me happy.
Okay. Well, I thought Rod was pretty dynamic himself. I mean, I thought we talked about him with the luchadors. That was very fun. And then I thought he was very fun going through the feeling loopy task where, okay, let me do it. Okay, this is like the NFL combine. I'm going to go out there and then jump through the things. And then he was too big. He was like, all right, like big man, little loops, need to jump through.
I can't shrink this much. So you're going to have to grow. Should they make this part of the combine, Rob? Should there be like posted stats for everybody about like, okay, what's your 40 and how many lassos did you jump through without tripping up?
How loopy did you end up getting?
How many times did they have to loop the Mexican hat dance for you to jump through 7 lassos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he felt pretty good. He also then at one point he was worried about, okay, well, I think we're in first place unless the baby blue team passes us, unless Caesar, it's not Caesar, right? It's Caesar.
I would say it's like Caesar.
That he said, unless he's like Spider-Man, I think we got this.
I mean, they are from New York. So don't count him out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that they were very funny.
Yeah, I have some questions about Letitia's choice of Amazing Race attire.
Okay.
Is this a one-piece catsuit?
I mean, not to steal the thunder from a fellow Amazing Race podcaster, Bryce Isaiah, but like, if we're doing an Issa look right now, yeah, I don't know if I was just like blending, you know, any sort of lines between the top and the bottom, but it does look like a one-piece.
Sam, can we zoom in
on that photo?
Enhance.
And I don't see
enhance.
Mine. Yeah.
Enhance. Doesn't
I don't know.
Work.
I don't think it works that way.
Okay.
Not how it works. But
all right.
I have to question, like, what if you have to go to the bathroom? That's my question.
Well, Jen and Keisha learned that the hard way.
I'm saying, like, what if Jen and Keisha had cat suits? They'd probably still be there.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations, Rod and Letitia. They should get a prize. Come on. Don't be cheap, Amazing Race. All right.
Their prize is the admiration of millions.
Okay. Millions of hearts for Rod and Letitia. Okay.
Yes, billions of hearts.
Okay. All right. Then second place team, we've got the aforementioned Ricky and Caesar.
Yeah, I love these guys. And Listen, to be frank, this is like the quintessential example of you can't judge a book by its cover, especially on something like The Amazing Race. Phil ran down the cast with me prior to the season starting, and he sort of set this up that they are more than meets the eye. You know, I think they're regarded as like a couple of city mice, but I think partially because they're able to benefit from having a bit of a home field advantage, these two I found incredibly capable. And look, in a season that is going to visit largely Spanish-speaking countries, they're going to have a pretty good leg up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they got off to a hot start, and they were the first team that was chosen that chose the pin 'em down challenge, and they were set up with the luchadors, and they were positioned well to get through that. And then, you know, good showing and feeling loopy. So, yeah, a hot start, Jess.
Yeah, well, and this is an example of what we were talking about earlier. This is a team of super fans. These guys know their stuff cold.
Yeah, or at least Cesar does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ricky is, you know, supportive partner, indulging the love of his life. And mm-hmm. I think that's adorable. But yeah.
I know what that's like.
I think your wife knows what that's like.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
mm-hmm. But they really know their stuff. They did their homework. They are coming prepared. They are ready for whatever is going to get thrown at them. And I think it is an example of a super fan team that is not going to be hamstrung by their super fandom.
Okay. Well, a great opening night here for Ricky and Cesar. They said they wanted to set the tone. And so I think they did exactly that here to open things up here on the premiere. Let's talk about yes.
Oh, I was going to say, what I find interesting is that we're going to keep on racing through Mexico. And Ricky, to Jess's point, like, it's clear they thought through things from a strategic perspective, like with the horses. And Ricky says one of the reasons why Cesar does the roadblock is because he says, like, basically, if anything's in Mexico, he's going to take care of it because he knows the area a lot better than I do. So I'll be intrigued to see if we get another roadblock in Mexico next leg. Like, are they going to be 2-0 in roadblocks? And then they're going to have to make up for a bit of that deficit.
Surprise twist. The entire first half of the race takes place in Mexico. They burn off all the roadblocks and Ricky has to do all the rest of them.
Okay. Ricky, don't lose that number. Okay. All right. Let's go to our third place team, Derek and Shalisa. I love them. What a nice romance story this is, these two.
They were one of my favorite teams. And, you know, you never know what to expect. We have certainly had older teams on The Amazing Race, but they are definitely the oldest average age team. They're in their 50s. But I thought they popped on the screen and they are so funny together. And it's interesting because we got very little inter-team conflict in this opening leg. This was like the sole exception, right? When they're driving around, there's like that brief moment when the two of them are bickering. You're like, uh-oh, is this going to be that type of couple? And then like he starts mocking her and she starts laughing. You're like, oh no, this is how they communicate. And so that makes me really excited where they're able to provide kind of that snark to each other, but also let it roll off their backs.
I have a different pick for what couple that might be when we get to them. Derek and Shalisa also, just, I've never seen this before. So Shalisa, she had an issue with her backpack and then all her crossword puzzle books fell out of her backpack. I've never seen Amazing Race teams like carrying their own sort of like entertainment with them.
I think they do, but I don't think they bring that kind of crossword puzzle.
Why'd she need so many?
Why'd she need three of them? if you are doing the crossword puzzle so quickly that you're going to need three of them for the race, get harder crossword puzzles.
Yeah. If like, only they were going to, maybe I guess because they're not going to be in any airports. Jess, I was going to say, like, can't you stop at a Hudson News somewhere along the way and get another one? But maybe on the amazing plane, that's it. They tell you, hey, no pit stops at the convenience store.
I do wonder how many, like, in Amazing Race seasons past, how many people stuffed their backpack with John Grisham novels from the airport store of like, well, I got to pass the time on this 7-hour layover. I think what I love more than her backpack randomly bursting open with the crossword puzzle books falling out is that she basically is like, let them go. They're dead weight. We got to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I will grant that nothing makes me more angry than when I get on a plane and I open the in-flight magazine and someone has already done the crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe if somebody has already done it and it's wrong, that makes it even matter. But maybe she's just allowing for the possibility that she's not going to be able to do the crossword puzzle on the flight. But now she's not going to get to do any of them because she just left them where they were in Mexico.
Just left
maybe
them.
Maybe she predicted that would be the final memory task, is that they'd, you know, go to New York and do a big Will Shorts-esque crossword puzzle on their time in the race. So she's practicing already.
I feel like we did have a crossword puzzle as a final task one time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
But it wasn't Will Shorts caliber.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So they end up in third place. Rather uneventful the rest of their trip through the Amazing Race through Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, they were like the first team to get to the horses and really dominate that. They seem to be the team that struggled the least with that. I mean, they are built very solidly, right? These are two former cops, recently retired. So I think they're fairly fit as well, especially for their age. So I think they're actually set up as one of the solid teams. I think really the first three teams to finish, and maybe the fourth as well, considering what they were able to do in bouncing back, are set up to do really well, especially if we're going to keep on racing in Mexico. We saw this last season with the first two legs in Thailand, that they were basically the same finishes. I would not be surprised if the top three to four teams end up in the same place or a little bit of shifting next week as well.
Okay. Who's the fourth place team that we've got to talk about here? Oh, it's Juan and Shane. Juan and Shane like dodged a bullet of that. They were headed to be the, like, they were in like 12th place going to go pick up the rocking horses. And then there was no rocking horses left. And then they had to switch over to the luchadors and they never looked back.
I mean, good for them. Like at one point they were in 12th place and I had forgotten there were 13 teams. So I was like, these guys are in last place. That mm-hmm. shocks me. But then they managed to jump up 8 places.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the rope cast. Like literally with Shane jumping through yes. the lassos. And so that goes to prove again, like how if you have that sort of athleticism, which Shane apparently does, like that's something that can really help make up a lot of time and why male teams tend to do really well in the Amazing Race. Can I put out a hot take though, based on their personal story file photos?
Sure.
I think they should have kept the stashes.
I think they should have kept the mustaches. I do think so. Maybe I'm just missing Joel and Garrett so much that I want some facial hair in my life. But I like the matching stashes that they had.
Mm-hmm. Could we just like start making it a rule that every season we have to have a team with interesting facial hair?
We can call them Team Match Stash.
Yeah. Jess, is facial hair up there with that super fan? Like, if you don't have anything else interesting going on, that like, can you get some interesting facial hair?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Like, that's how you get cast. Like, if you keep sending in your videos and they keep ignoring you, maybe the thing
you
got to do
is shaving until you cast me.
Yeah, like get one of those like one of those bohemian like giant beard situations mm-hmm. with the little curls and stuff. And I think you get cast at that point.
Yeah. Load up on the mustache wax until you get the call.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Mike, anything else jump out to you about Juan and Shane?
I mean, again, I think the fact that they were able to, and maybe partially due to just how bunched together the teams were, but the fact that they were able to bounce back so quickly, I think does speak to their talent level. I mean, these are two guys from the military as well. I know it tends to be a variance. Like on one side, you have Michael and Marcus. On the other side, you have Liam and Jeremy. We're like, it depends on how they're going to do. But I do think that sense of discipline helps a lot in these high pressure situations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So Juan and Shane, they were, you know, very capable team, but not in the caliber of some of our hot mess teams that we are starting to get into that territory. Okay. All right. Michelle and Sean, Team Double Dutch. Boy, what another happy couple, Jess.
Yeah, they're quite good. I don't know. I don't really know what to say. We already talked about their main moment in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I feel like this is a very interesting job. I think we know how they got cast, but I'm still waiting to see more from them. I don't know if I have any sense of how they race. I have a sense of how they do a task that's similar to what they do for a living.
Yeah. They're the married couple that's like, well, we only, it's sort of like the Victor and Jocelyn of like, well, we spend so much time working and we spend so much time with our family that we don't really spend a lot of time one-on-one. Let's use this chance to do it. The only other really thing of note I had was at one point during the horse task, Michelle yelled, "I control you, horse," which I thought was a weird
Yeah, that was a great line also.
That was
yeah.
a great line.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
I was talking about this with Jess. I do wonder at a certain point, like, yes, these things were purposely unruly in an unstable environment. Couldn't you just, like, let go of the horse at a certain point and let it careen down the hill and then just kind of follow behind it?
There might have been a rule that you can't take your hand off it for the innocent children of Puerto Vallarta waiting to...
In that case, could you ride it down? That was my question.
There yeah. we go. Hands on a
no
horse
breaks.
Body.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We needed Ben from Survivor to show up and ask the horse, does it rock? But Michelle and Sean, boy, what a happy, again, a happy couple. I don't know any married people that are like, oh, I'm so excited to spend time with my partner and get to know them. They're so excited.
But well, it's like, a certain type of person that goes on the Amazing Race.
I was gonna
Rob.
Say, like, they're not they're gonna filter out the people like that are like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't stand being in the same room with this person. I think I'll go on the Amazing Race with them.
Yeah. So
I mean, we have had people that are like, we want to I mean, this feels more old school Amazing Race, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're newly dating. We're gonna test our relationship in the most high stakes environment that you possibly can.
Sure. Or we have problems and we're going to go on the Amazing Race instead of going to couples therapy.
Yep. Okay. It's cheaper. All right. Let's go to sixth place. Sam, what do you got? Oh, it's Yvonne and Melissa. So not a ton of airtime for them. Kind of a quiet night.
I will say girls who like to hike sounds like the name of a Maroon 5 song from like 2012.
I have Blur stuck in my head myself.
Yes. Okay. The Facebook group, girls who like to hike, probably more popular than the Rob Has a Podcast Amazing Race Facebook group.
Right now. You know what? Let's make it a stretch goal. Mm-hmm. We want to outnumber the group girls who like girls.
We're not competitive.
You know, everybody in that group could join our group. They're not mutually exclusive.
Not mutually exclusive. Yeah. Okay. Well, imagine. All right. So Yvonne and Melissa. Yeah. Jess, I didn't have a lot on them from the premiere.
Yeah, not really. It was a quiet week for them. This is one of those teams where if you asked me to name all the teams, this would be one of the last teams I would be struggling to pull.
Yep.
And it's no reflection on who they are as people. It's just that there are too many teams right now and they didn't get enough of them.
Middle of the pack, certainly not mid.
Two things of note. First, Yvonne was one of the examples of people who had like specific Mexican experience and Mexican DNA. She's first generation. Her parents are from Mexico. So we'll hopefully get more of that next leg. Secondly, girls who like to hike currently at 250 members. So it's not too disattainable.
I would think there'd be more girls who like girls like to hike.
Well, I have a new goal then. I think two people in our group need to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Clearly. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then maybe we make like a parallel group of girls who like the Amazing Race.
Yeah, we could do that.
Oh, I like that. Just yeah. So if people blur their eyes or check Facebook really quickly, they might accidentally join the wrong group.
Girls who like the hike. I mean, they were on national television yesterday. Like, I feel like, come on.
Yeah, this is like the time that Dan Heaton and I were trying to drum up Twitter followers for that bus in Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Patricia suggests girls who like to hike love charcuterie. Getting even further in the filtering.
Yeah, let's
very,
keep
very
extending
specific.
The sentence.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you're just like listing off things you like in hopes that somebody will like all those things too and join it and date you.
Yeah.
That feels like a memory task. Like girls who like to hike, who love charcuterie, who like sandals, who enjoy Melissa Etheridge. Just keep making the sentence go on and on with tropes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's Yvonne and Melissa. Okay. Then we have number seven, Angie and Danny. Okay. A mother boy team.
This is a mother boy team. And this is a super fan team.
Yeah.
Danny is known in the community. Oh, yeah. He is a sequester boy.
Oh.
And he's also apparently like does his own customized Amazing Races. I mean, look, I love this guy. The fashion and passion behind like what he feels about the show is so palpable. I will say he's giving a little bubble boy and I love it. The history of like, I was really sick and my mom was my best friend and took care of me. And now we get to see like what happens when he's able to to come up. So hopefully he will take over this race, much like the Moops.
Mm-hmm. Who's feeling moopy? Yeah. So they are from Walla Walla, Washington. Am I getting that mm-hmm. correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. He also, Mike, in addition to that, he also, one time his mom took him to see a pony.
And it didn't go well. I had a pony.
Manya?
Manya. I love this, that he comes in with like a little bit of a fear, understandable of horses, right? That like, again, this is someone who unfortunately due to medical circumstances couldn't get out much. And like the one time he does, he falls from a horse. And so I think he thought for a second, genuinely, he would have to face his fear only for the horse to just greet him. And he gets to move on from that. Again, I really like these two. And Angie seems so sweet and so supportive. Like her getting emotional, watching her son live his dream is absolutely heartwarming. So mm-hmm. I hope they keep on lasting. And I'm excited to see, again, Danny not only has experience through watching the show, but also has experience through like doing some experiential stuff as well. So that might come in a bit more in handy to buck kind of Jess's trend.
Yeah, Jess, they had some rough moments moving the horses.
Yeah, they did. It's just not a good horse week mm-hmm. for them. Hopefully fewer horses next week. They'll do better.
Yes. Okay. Angie and Danny. All right. They got team eighth place ends up being Anthony and Bailey. Okay. Mike, we have our identical twins and actually that the underreported story, actually triplets. Their brother Turner actually played in Big Brother 24.
Yeah, it turns out that they're not doing the amazing plane. They're using the amazing bus and bussin' this season.
the amazing van.
Well, listen, the 90s are alive again. What's better than one Kurt Cobain? Two Kurt Cobains.
Yeah. Anthony and Bailey. Okay. And Jess, our dude bro team could be fun.
Yeah, they are fun. And I got to talk a little bit with Anthony last night. Great guy. Very fun dudes. Very, very laid back. We talk a lot here about the pitfalls of being an identical twin team is that you're like physically you're similar. You're not going to have complementary strengths and weaknesses to the same degree as other teams. Mm-hmm. But if you're good enough, it might not matter.
Yeah. And they're just like wreaking havoc, destroying everything in their wake.
To be fair, they're not the only team that's going to like accrue some damage on their car over the course of this leg. But yeah, it's interesting that they kind of have the Cali look, but they're from Florida, so sort of their own coast to coast vibe. And mm-hmm. I guess their story, right, is that they've been pitted against each other their entire lives. So why not compete together? So yeah, they have a really
Drew and Alec Christie vibe.
Exactly. So which one of them is the meat collector? That's the next roadblock prompt. So I'm excited to come up with our own mnemonics moving forward, Jess, as to try to figure out which one's Anthony and which one's Bailey.
Well, mm-hmm. the only thing that I do, and I admit this may be faulty, but I know that Amazing Race always gives you like you have to have your names in the same order on the screen all the time. And so I will know which one does a roadblock because they usually say it on the screen. And if they're sitting in a confessional, I will always know like there's Anthony on the left and Bailey on the right.
Okay. All right, Anthony and Bailey. Okay, who's next? Okay, Sunny and Busy. They are firefighters.
And this is one that I've already made up a mnemonic for, hopefully, because I thought Busy gets down to business, and so she has her hair up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also Sunny, speaking of Sunnies, did you notice the like very prominent sunglasses they brought on the race that looks like they had like major eye surgery?
What were those?
Not good, Jess.
They were like the sunglasses they wear in like the Back to the Future Part 2 2015.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's giving Rob that one Tamar Braxton look that she wore in Celebrity Big Brother season 2.
Okay, maybe that's why they call her Sunny, is because she wears like crazy glasses.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe she's going to get in the DeLorean and go back to the future.
If Sunny's a nickname. Okay.
I mean, pretty interesting story. So these are, you know, women firefighters. They are very much pushing like we have, you know, multiple daughters between us. You know, we want to show that women are just as capable as what men are doing. Incredibly inspiring. Their story, though, 1,600 applicants, 16 spots, and 3 women got on. Like, that is the same level of applying to a reality show. That is wild. Could they apportion out the other 1,584 people that didn't get it to other fire stations? I feel like there's a wealth of talent that's needed to put out fires.
I don't know, man. I think firefighting talent is probably about as much of a spectrum as reality TV talent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, there are people that apply to Harvard that are definitely not getting into Harvard, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, there's people that, you know, go on reality TV and prepare their whole lives to do it. And then there's people that get dared to do it.
Yeah. How many people did they need, I guess, is the question. Yeah.
16, apparently, mm-hmm. Much like a Survivor cast. Do you think it was like setting in, applying for a reality show? Did they send it in an audition video?
Got to show them putting out a fire.
Yeah. You have to make, yeah. On your Survivor audition video, you have to make a fire. On this audition video, you got to put one out.
Yeah, maybe Sunny and Busy can become like the Adam Klein of firefighters. Like, this is how what you do in your audition video to get into firefighting.
They could just like use their same video that they made for Survivor and just run it in reverse.
Yeah. She could start up a coaching busy. All right. All right. Sunny and Busy, they're here. All right. But let's get to, all right. We have our cousins, Kishori and Karishma. They had a lot going on, especially in our feeling loopy task.
I love these two because they really showed like the alpha and the omega, right? Like they showed the capacity to do really well. They got the Voladares in third place and then it just completely falls apart at the roadblock. And this is unfortunately for Karishma. She is the first one susceptible to the number one rule of the Amazing Race, which is read the clue.
Yep. Justice was a classic. Once they like said more than once, like, oh, make sure you read the clue. Like I got it.
Yep. That was the death knell for them.
Yeah. How many attempts did it take to get through the feeling loopy task?
It's double digits, I think.
I wrote this down. 23 attempts. Because remember, I think she also got through it the first time with 14 and then had to learn, oh, forgot your handkerchief. And then it took another 9 times, I think, for her to get through again.
What an awful feeling it must be to get through the task. Like, all right, I did it. Like, wait, they're not giving me the clue. They're not giving me the thing. Why? What's wrong? What did I do?
At least she realized it, you know? At least she'd have to be like, well, I guess my foot tripped it, so I guess I have to go do it again. And it would cost her even more time. I'm glad they at least had the wherewithal to read the clue again and realize that you needed the full guard. But I really like this. I mean, cousins are always an interesting duo in The Amazing Race. Of course, the Afghanimals are sort of like the best example of that, even though they're more like sisters. And you sort of get that sort of, you know, status from the two of them. And I also love Karishma is also someone that has a bit of that Mexican heritage in her. So hopefully she'll have a bit of a bounce back. And I think the story about her parents was absolutely tragic and really sweet message at the mat about how I think my dad is both looking down on me, smiling, and also laughing at the fact that it took me 23 tries to get through the ropes.
Okay. Then we have our bottom three teams, and we were really setting up this cliffhanger, this race to the mat. Who's it going to be? And so we have our 11th place team, Chris and Mary. And Chris and Mary are father and daughter, and they live together in a one bedroom apartment.
This sounds like the makings of a CBS sitcom.
After the Neighborhood, check out Chris and Mary.
Check out Hail Mary. Hail Mary. Chris is a mild-mannered weather reporter, and his daughter moves in with him.
Mm-hmm. They're best friends, but will they pay the rent? Yeah. Okay. All right. Chris and Mary. And Chris took a spill early on in the episode.
Yeah, Jess, I was getting big Jim from The Amazing Race 5 vibes.
Oh, dear, yes.
Who infamously took a spill on a pier in the opening steps and had to get his legs sewn up right after the starting line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that.
Okay. And then ultimately, you know, they attempted to get to move the horses. They ended up being a little too late, but I think it was probably a blessing.
Yeah, I think they would have struggled with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're already sort of getting, and look, Chris is the oldest person out there and like great on him for like doing something that clearly would bring him and his daughter together. But he's already sort of like slowing down a bit in the initial leg. I think it's going to be a little tough for them. Also, they had problems with navigation. One of the reasons why they missed out on the horses is because they either got the wrong directions or they couldn't figure out the way to get to Calle Corona. So I do have a little bit of fear for the two of them. I mean, the great thing about The Amazing Race is you can sort of be those bottom G-dot Odysseys and just sort of like hang around as long as you're doing better than at least one more team. But there are some red flags in this team decked out in black.
Okay. All right. Let's go to our 12th place team. It's Amber and Vinny. And I mentioned earlier that I think there might be a different team that might be our bickering couple of the season. And I think Amber and Vinny have that upside.
I'm not sure. I feel like they are doing okay for as far down in the pack as they are.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a vibe that they were going to be speaking to each other in raised voices. Mm-hmm. They don't really banter.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised that they were this far down in the order, because on paper, they really seem like the kind of team you would rank high. Like, I feel like if we'd done a draft, yeah, they would have gone in the first round.
Yes.
Right. Because it seemed like, you know, they're working in emergency services. Obviously, that's going to require some composure. To your point, Jess, about the confessionals, Vinny has to be like, okay, how's the Amazing Race like a code blue? And so he has to kind of go through, you know, that stress management. So you think like they'd be able to handle a lot of the pressures. I mean, what it really came down to was the fact that they just got horrendously lost on the way to the roadblock. Otherwise, they were like very comfortably in the middle of the pack. And so I don't have that much fear for them, yeah, from a longevity perspective. Yeah, maybe that intensity can kind of come out at a certain point.
The moment that stood out to me, and there was a couple, but the one that really stood out to me was that that Amber's finger got hurt, and it had to. They were taking the wheels off the thing, and then she said to him that, "I just need you to leave me alone." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Ah, I recognize that."
You're Leo pointing.
I feel seen. I'm like, she said the thing. Yes. Okay. And even in like some of the driving stuff, the frustration, like I just feel I sense it more than I saw it. We'll see. Yeah. Keep an eye on Amber and Vinny. Could be some good TV coming.
The pressure is certainly mounting because they will be the last team to leave the pit stop at the end of this episode. Now, they are right next to Chris and Mary, so they do have a little bit of wiggle room, but we have certainly seen some teams, even if they are passionately in love with each other, crumble under that. Again, I wouldn't expect it from these two. Also, just mentioned it before, like Phil with the oddly savage line and doing his own sort of fill in the blank job stuff at the starting line of like, well, you're an esthetician. So that means you're going to put the competition to sleep. And when they wake up, you're going to be at the finish line.
Wow.
I don't think Phil should be advocating for chloroforming your competition. I just think that's a bridge too far.
Yeah. Does reality TV need villains anymore? Who would have thought the real villain is the host that's asking people to knock out their competition?
We knew Phil had a dark side.
He does. We see it more on Tough as Nails. Okay.
It's true.
All right. And then our 13th team. You can check out the exit press with Maya and Rohan. And they gave us an iconic Amazing Race moment of maybe in hindsight, the 3-point turn, Jess, was not the move.
Well, this would be more iconic if Derek and Claire hadn't done the exact same thing, mm-hmm, like 3 seasons ago.
Yes.
Yeah, but this was like, you say 3-point turn, this is a 3,000-point turn, Rob. They literally were doing the Austin Powers moment, and I thought there was a 30% chance that they would just stop. And
they
Phil
would just
have
leave the car. Yeah.
Or either they abandoned the car or Phil would have to eliminate them there when they were just stuck there. Of course, you know, I did ask them about why not just back up. It was one of those like spur of the moment decisions of like, well, I could just back all the way up, or I think I could do it. I think I could make this turn. And then it just ends in temporarily abject failure, though they were apparently able to recover. But yeah, this was really rough for them. I feel so bad. I feel even worse that they didn't get to do the horses, because as someone named Rohan, I would imagine he wanted to invoke the people of the Lord of the Rings and be with the horses, but unfortunately he got left short there.
It's a deep pull, Bloom.
Always.
Yeah.
They did play in Central America, also known as Middle Earth.
Okay. Maya and Rohan, they don't eat the same bowl of breakfast cereal. Okay. Just put that out there. Okay. We just want to knock that down. That was one of the allegations that the last sibling super fans on The Amazing Race had to shoot down.
Yeah, I mean, buy enough buy enough cutlery that you don't have to.
Yeah, and they don't live together, do they, Maya and Rohan?
So the like official press stuff lists them as being from the same hometown, but I do believe like Maya goes to school in Delaware. In Pittsburgh, I think Rohan's a graduate student. So like, I think they lead separate academic lives, so they largely stay separate. But maybe they live together during the breaks.
Yeah, at their parents' house, but they don't have their own apartment together, like last season.
Not yet, but this might be a gateway, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I think Maya and Rohan should live with Alexandra and Sheridan. Yes. That'd be a CBS sitcom.
I would love that. Itself. Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Jess, how was your chat with
double
Maya
Dutch,
and Rohan?
Double date.
Jess, how was your conversation with them?
They were great. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. Check that out as well on our robisawebsite.com and on our YouTube channel. Anything else from the premiere?
No, I thought it was solid. I'm excited for where it's going to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was a nice introduction to these teams. I think we got plenty of good and not so good performances, but even the not so good performances were entertaining. And it just goes to show that you could be in a middle of the pack position like Amber and Vinny and then just get really lost and fall to near elimination. So it reminds me of the variance that can exist within The Amazing Race. And the fact that, yes, we are going to keep going through Mexico instantaneously. On the one hand, you could be like, well, maybe the rich will just keep getting richer and the other teams will struggle. But again, this is The Amazing Race. Really, anything can happen. And considering how much teams were previously struggling with navigating through those Mexican streets, I would imagine we're due for some more of that next week.
Okay. All right. Well, this was very fun to get together for the premiere. Looking forward to seeing where you both go with The Amazing Race podcast this season. The world is waiting for you. Podcast safe. Okay.
I'm safe. I got my mask on.
Yeah. Okay.
This is not safe for me.
No, definitely not. And then check out The Amazing Race RHAP Facebook group. Go to robisawebsite.com/TAR group. Is Jess, is there any password?
There's no password, but there are some questions. You have to read the rules and you have to answer the questions.
Read your clue. Okay. All right. Jess, what else is coming up for you?
Let's see. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead, Ones Who Live over on Post Show Recaps, kind of a swan song for Post Show Recaps for us. And so I've been following along with that. And I want to tease everybody. Watch episode 4 of The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, or at least watch the last 10 minutes of it. I feel like everybody on this podcast in particular, everybody listening to this podcast will appreciate it.
Okay.
So that's coming up. And then, you know, just more of this.
Okay. All right. Jess, great work. And looking forward to hearing all the coverage this season. Mike Bloom, Luchador, yes. Mike Luchador Bloom.
Yes, thank you. My middle name has been signed in ink. I went to the government for this exactly to explain it. So I'm happy to move forward with a new name and a newer version of the podcast. We'll miss you, Rob, but hopefully we'll have you back in some fits and starts. And I'm excited to bring in some also alumni racers to talk about this season as well. So as mentioned before, I did my own interview with Maya and Rohan, which was very fun. Got to get their super fan perspective. They talked about connecting with Danny over being a super fan as well. So the alliance that could have been. Also, I talked with the most recently eliminated player from Survivor, and if you watched Survivor last night, I'm sure you have questions. I did as well, and I got some answers from it, so you can check that out. We'll be back with the B&B this weekend. Myself, Liana, and Kevin Jacobs will be talking about the most recent episode of Survivor. And then post-show recaps, we were trying to land that amazing plane. We're a couple weeks away from post-show recaps end. And so Grace Leader and myself are doing a bunch of countdowns on listener-populated polls of the top 10 blanks. This past week was the top 10 movies of the past 10 years that was special guest Ariel. That was a lot of fun to look back on the past 10 years of movies. And then we'll move forward with that. I think we're doing next the best TV characters of the past 10 years. Unfortunately, no reality TV contestants. I feel like if we did, there might be some Amazing Race contestants that would fit into that mold.
Vying for a spot. Okay.
Exactly. And add a Mike Bloom type for everything, including my cameo. I will wear the mask.
Okay. You can, you'll do luchador cameo.
Mask costs extra.
I will literally do anything and everything for money.
Okay. All right. A lot of information there. All right. We have to end the podcast now. All right.
Should I rip this off?
No.
Oh, oh God. Why
all right. We're at risk of losing the YouTube channel at this point, Mike.
Now so we're at risk.
Yeah, we're going to get suspended from YouTube.
Yeah. Please, we can't go out like this, all right?
You got it.
Big Survivor Day here on Rob as a Podcast. Talked with Stephen Fishback right before all of this. Check it all out. RobAsAWebsite.com for all the podcasts. RobAsAWebsite.com/YouTube to watch all the videos. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.